gets me every time.
John Cena. That's right. Of course, you started with the jokes because why wouldn't you? Everybody, if you guys are not aware of who this gentleman is, you better make yourself acquainted because he is one of the coolest, nicest, pretty much one of the most awesome people I have got the pleasure of getting to know over a 4-day Suckfest weekend of self-growth. But Casey Gilbert is here. Not only is he an amazing coach, he is a long-distance runner. And I don't know if you guys have been listening lately, but runners are making a play on this show, and I'm not sure why.
I love it.
Just happening, man. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
I'm glad that you're glad to be here. Too bad you weren't actually sitting in the studio, but you're sitting in the virtual studio, so it works for today.
Listen, it's what we can make work, and I'm happy to be even virtually here. I wanted to say, long time listener, first time caller, great to be on the show. Here we
Love
are.
that so much. Oh, I love that so much. Okay, so if you're a longtime listener, which one would be your favorite episode to date? You're going to say one of the past couple weeks, I guarantee it.
I think the past couple of weeks have been great. I think you've been I just think it's so interesting, all of them really. I've been crushing podcasts in general, like
Have you?
hardcore. Little everything. So I've been trying to just take time to listen to things that like don't really pertain to me, like not educational, just like entertaining. So just hearing different perspectives and listening to like tons of different podcasts have been great. But now you crush it. I like when you go into like just your story and really get deep, because you get deep.
Yeah, real fast too. It makes people severely uncomfortable. I tried to do that with Tulsi recently, and then I realized I was talking to one of the best debaters in the world, and she drove that conversation hard, so
Love
it happens. But you are
that.
here, Casey, and let's talk about how I got to know you and how I became a big fan of yours. We were on the Not Dead Yet retreat with Matthew Vincent and Bonnie Schroeder, and we were in Montana in the 6 to 8 feet of snow and the awesome mountains. And we got to do hiking and cold therapy, and we got deep with each other from the coaching perspectives and really where we're at as people. And you stood out to me. You were in my group that I was working with on one of the nights, and you were very quiet a lot of the retreat. You kind of stuck to yourself. You hung out with everybody, but you kind of just stuck to yourself. And I found that fascinating. And then once I dove a little deeper, I was like, oh, I see what's going on here. So we're going to dive right into all things. But why don't you tell everybody a little bit about who you are, where you're at, and kind of what you do?
Sure. And I'm interested to hear like what you perceived versus what I perceived as far as my actions and all of that. Well,
Okay.
I'm excited to get into that. So my name is Casey. I'm from upstate New York. I have moved around a lot. Well, not as much as some people, but I've moved around a little bit. I've lived in Utah for a little bit, Florida for a little bit. I've been in fitness and athletics my whole life. So through different positions and jobs and career paths and all that, I work as a fitness instructor and fitness and wellness coach at this point. But I think we connected, and the reason that I was on that retreat is I've been struggling my whole life with anxiety and depression, and it got pretty gnarly in the past few years, and which led me to go down the path of self-growth and self-development. And so that's kind of where I've been at lately, is just really digging into, how do I describe myself without the things I just said of who I am and what I do, where I'm from? So that's been my life lately, is peeling back the layers and figuring out how to answer that question a little better.
What is it that you think brought on the anxiety and the depression over the past couple of years?
So I've always struggled with it. And I think I've done a ton of work and ton of therapy and all that, and realized that a lot of it came from just internalizing a lot of stuff as the youngest kid in a divorced household and being the peacekeeper. And one thing that I latched onto previously is I was always pretty good at sports. I was naturally gifted at sports, and so I leaned into it because I'm a really competitive person. I was pretty good at it. And every time I won events or won games, and it seemed like everybody was happy. So I internalized that as, be good at sports, be good at athletics, make everybody happy. Mom and dad won't fight if Casey is the best in the state at the 400 hurdles. Things like that. But the past few years, so I had a great career opportunity to, I was teaching group fitness and personal training in New York for years, for about 4 or 5 years. And then I had an opportunity to take a full-time position in Utah doing on-camera fitness for a company called iFit. And it was a quick turnaround. It was a great, you know, my agent was working with it. We got the offer. He's like, you got to accept it if, you know, quick, blah, blah, blah. There was a lot of back and forth. Long story with that. But leaving to go there, I think I experienced my first bout of panic attacks and I didn't know what was happening. Thought I was having a heart attack, went to the emergency room. And I realized that I had my whole identity was in New York. I grew up in upstate New York, lived in New York City for 8 years, all my friends, all my family there. And then I leave. And my internal being was just like, what, you know, so fired up. And I didn't even realize how much that I was internalizing all this stuff. But anyway, long story short, it was that move that really triggered things. Cause then I put a bunch of pressure on myself. What if I don't succeed at this job that I'm bringing my wife across the country with me for? Or what if this happens? What if that happens? And I can't, you know, what if I'm not actually deserving of this great salary and all that? And so I dug deep into a ton of therapy, a ton of self-work at that point. And then they moved me from Utah to Florida. So same thing happened again. I got a hold of it after like 4 months in Utah. And then we moved to Florida. And then it's like, here we go again, like kind of traumatic experience with moving across the country. I got laid off from that job 2 months later. And so then that hole that was already dug just became like this cavern into, let's see where the rock bottom is. Let's see where I can take everything that I've ever identified with as who I am and what I do and what my identity is as this fitness instructor, as this athletic guy, as this trainer, and then strip it away. And now we're in Florida where I don't have any friends, don't have a job prospect. And that was dark. So that's where I hit bottom there. And that's really what was like, I lived there for a few months and then have been crawling my way out of that for almost 2 years now.
It sounds like, and maybe I'm wrong, go with me here on this. It sounds like the self-worth piece comes from your ability to financially handle situations.
I base so much self-worth on financially, like it's, and I still do. And yeah, like, well, there's tons of reasons why I still go into that with my therapist. Of, I started a coaching business 8 months ago. It's going really well. But I find that when I tell people what I'm doing, I immediately want to interject, I'm doing this and I make this much money to justify that I'm doing a job that might not seem like a full-time position, but I make this much money. So you have to respect me now. So, and that's, yeah, it's in there.
Interesting. The reason I bring that up isn't to like air out all of your stuff, but this is kind of what the show does. So it's like a coaching therapy session. So the reason I'm asking it is because I think so many of our listeners subconsciously, without being fully aware of it, attach ourselves that the financial portion of where we're at in our life equals our worthiness. So if our bank account says X and it's doing really good, then we feel great and we feel stable. And I fully understand that feeling, because when finances are smooth, everything else feels pretty good. But when finances are rocky, I'm one of those too. I allow it to directly affect how I feel, how I walk, how I talk, and what the energy it is that I put off. Where do you think that stems from with you though?
Lots of things, but I hate to like do the classic, mom and dad were divorced and I, you know, there was a tumultuous situation there, but I think a lot of the stressful conversations they had were about finances, about child support, things like that. And I saw that, you know, I mean, I love my parents, but there probably were fights that I didn't need to be a part of. And so I also saw a lot of different relationships with money, whereas like there'd be times where we'd be stressed about money and times where it's just like, don't even look at the number on the, you know, me as an 8-year-old kid stressing about like, hey, can I get the fish or do I have to get the cheeseburger on the menu because it's the cheapest thing type of thing. We weren't poor, but I internalized that as like, I'm not going to add any stress by spending money. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's always been money equals success. Money equals a validation. But I will say, even like I have had the fortune of with that job that I had, even when I like was balanced, I had the dream job, dream salary, dream like exposure. People tell me I'm great all the time. It didn't stop, still wasn't enough. And so it's not, it's something I've been deeply working on and still working on. So why do I attach money to value? And, you know, there's obviously money has value, but internal value. Why do I look at someone differently? And I still do if I know that they make $300,000 a year versus they're a teacher and they're making 50. And I think recently I almost in the, that same situation, I almost envy the person that makes 50 grand a year and is super happy. I'm like, how the hell are you able to do that? Like, teach me, because right. I can't. It's not there yet.
Some of the happiest people I know in my life are the ones that finances are probably the worst. And I, when I say the worst, I mean, they struggle to make rent every day. They struggle to put food on the table, but somehow they're able to internalize this love and this peace. I do wish that we were able to pay other individuals better, but I'd also like to understand how people feel so good about what they do when they make so little. And I think it comes down to passion. And I think it comes down to the true love for what they do. You could do what you love and make no money, and somehow you're way happier than the billionaires and the millionaires who have everything at their fingertips. So I guess for you, what is the next step in that healing journey towards money? Because I think so many of our listeners struggle with the exact same thing. Well, I know they do because they reach out. They struggle with that identity around, what does it mean if I don't make X? What type of person does this make me?
Yeah. And that's a tough one. I think to start, it's about dissecting and understanding. And I'm sorry if there's birds being loud in the background.
No,
I don't
you're
know if
good.
You can hear that. I'm okay, cool. Dissecting and understanding like what actually your values are, what makes you happy, what makes you feel like you. Understanding what, and if it is a money thing of like, well, I want to make money. Okay, why? What do you need to, what do you want to provide for? So for me, it's to provide a safe and financially stable household. Okay, well, what do I need to do to make that? And if you can start identifying, okay, well, there's a limit to that. And if I'm over this limit, then I'm good. Or, and there's going to be times where you're under that. Money is going to literally come and go forever. But identifying the relationship with it, I think, is the first step, is understanding what's going on. And so that's been, you know, I'm been working on that for a long time. And it's, yeah, understand, like I said, when I tell people what I do, understanding, I have this need, this desire to tell them how much I make. I don't do that anymore because I've worked on it, but I feel it. I'm like, I make this much money. Respect me. I am successful. Or you should think of me as successful. And I take that and rephrase that because I don't feel successful because I'm still working on that relationship. But yeah, what does, how do you get over that relationship is, it's difficult. It's very individual for sure. I think it's tough when we have exposure to comparison of every person in every field, in every city, in every country in the world. So as soon as you want to take a break and decompress and you open Instagram, the algorithm feeds you 50 other people that are doing better than you are. And then you start creating your worth out of that. But I think it's value-based. What does money bring you? If it brings you the ability to go to a restaurant and order what you want, cool. How much does this cost? Cool. Can you afford that right now? And I think a lot of people, if they also looked at their finances and understood, well, I can afford to live very comfortably right now. Sure. If, you know, my house burns down, can I buy another one right away? No. But the same person that's worrying about what's going to happen is that same version of you that's going to be able to handle it in the future. So I think it's kind of limiting that forward thinking of like, how do I save up the nest egg enough to like prevent everything, which you can't. And I think that's a scarcity mindset of like, I don't have enough to solve everything. And that's, you're never going to have enough to solve everything. You're never going to have enough to be the richest person in the world. I mean, it's never going to happen. You don't want to be Jeff Bezos either. Definitely not. You don't want that much money. But yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And it's something I'm still trying to discover on my own, because internally, all I want to do is know what people make, what, and have them know what I make in a room. I look around and I'm like, I wonder how much money every person in this room makes.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
so
it's also tough. I
did.
Live in South Florida. So everybody here has a Rolls Royce and a Bentley, and I teach group fitness, and it's all moms that are not working, which good for them. But
yeah.
I drive a Mazda. And I
but
love
you
my
can
car.
Lease and you can lease and you can lease and you can look like you have a lot of money. That's
right.
The difference, right? Is you can go out there and look like you have all of the money. And that kind of goes back to this this thing that you said that I wish I was recording for at the beginning. When you're like, oh, you look like you're crushing it. I said, Instagram makes your life look really good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But the difference is, I think between, and maybe I'm speaking for you, so feel free to cut me off. I think the difference between my social media and your social media is that you and I are ruthlessly honest in showing when it isn't going well.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is the definition of not a highlight reel. That is actually just your life. And a lot of people will be like, oh, you look like you're crushed. You know, you're just posting all these positive things. I'm just living my everyday and filming it. That's it. People don't like that answer though.
Oh yeah.
So let's talk about your everyday, because I'm going to say something that might seem sexist. Never mind, I don't care. You get a lot of views the days you leave your shirt off.
Yeah.
But the days that I post a bikini photo, I get double the views. And then people squawk at me for posting the bikini photo, even though it doubles my engagement because I'm doing this as a business.
Yeah.
But when guys like you, and is it Brian Meza, who stand there with their shirt off, just talking about like truly, like, you know what I mean? It's like, that's okay. You guys can have your shirts off. So how do you go about working on social media and not being a thirsty bitch?
That's tough.
I'm asking, man.
I mean, it's an interesting person to ask. I don't wear a shirt much on my social media. I used to literally count and make sure, okay, I've had three shirtless pictures in a row. Now I have to put a shirt on for three. And I would literally do that. Now, I like I said, I live in Florida. I have my shirt off. And I also have the argument that nobody really calls me out for it like they would a woman. So, but if somebody would, like, I would be like, I've been working out since I was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to show off my body as much as I damn well please. And like, I'm not like posting like booty close-ups of doing a deadlift with the camera up my butt or anything like that. I'm just doing a workout. And hell yeah, I'm going to show my body. It's part of my resume. Of I work hard, you know, I feel like I consider it my resume. If I'm dedicated, I work hard, I eat well, I take care of my body.
Right.
And I wear a shirt a lot more now than I used to, because I identified with that. I was like, again, everybody look at me, look at my body. Mm. Yeah, that's right. I was also a fitness model. It was literally part of my job to stay ripped all the time and put my body out there.
Right.
But I do see it is tough, because I get suggested out on Instagram all the time, because I look at fitness stuff. So a lot of it's the girls in the shorts pulled up over their head, essentially. I don't know how they're breathing, they're so high. And then like the angles where it's like bicep day, and it's like, oh, okay, why is your camera on the ground behind you when you're doing bicep curls? Sure, gets the views, gets the attention. How do you not look like a thirsty bitch on Instagram?
It's impossible.
That's the whole point. It's to be thirsty. If they took away likes and follows and followers, there'd be a lot of different content on there.
Yeah, I believe that for sure. I think you see that. You see the radical difference between TikTok in America and TikTok in China. I'm not saying I want to be like China in any way, shape, or form, but I'm saying education, sports versus let's dance around like a bunch of twats and see if we're going to get views off of it. Like the mindless, just numbing kind of activity. But I ask because, and I mean it in like a serious way, you've cultivated a really amazing community on social media. And I love your content for that. I love that you show when you're working and you're instructing. And like you said, your social media is your resume. It is your business. It is how you cultivate clients. So it's, in my opinion, to be expected. I would expect you to be putting yourself out there if you are a fitness trainer. So if you are doing those jobs, it makes complete sense. Now, the moms that stay at home all day and film their children without their children's permission and then sell products off of their kids, that bothers me.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
That one's...
That's something I've actually talked to my wife about recently, because we have a lot of friends that are having babies, and that's hopefully in our future at some point in the near future. But when people blur out the kid's face, or, I see both sides. I like looking at cute kids. Like, if you're not selling off, I want to see my friend's kids. I'm not able to see my friends. So if they're having kids, I want to see what the kid looks like. I'm gonna be like that, congratulations.
So does the pedophile.
No, exactly. And I understand both sides of it. And that's why it's like when Instagram, which has become, it's not social media anymore. It's marketing, it's advertising, it's attention grabbing. It's literally just buying your attention from these big corporations and all that. But yeah, it's that's I've seen a lot of that, and it's like, yeah, it leaves a weird taste in my mouth just seeing people like exploit, but also just cross the boundaries, I think.
That's a great word. Exploitation is what it is. People don't have to agree with it. If you're taking a video or a photo of just your family and you guys are at the beach and there's no advertisement, there's no products, and you're just showing them having fun. There was a really good case that came out. It was wild. It blew my mind. And we never allow photos of my son on the internet anyway. I think I posted one video of him so far, but it was the back of him. And it was to illustrate doing hard things because he asked me to do this. And I said, okay, cool. But we'll never post. Grandparents aren't allowed to post photos. They get very cranky about it. I don't care.
I see.
Yeah, we don't allow any of it. And so there was this situation. And maybe you should send this episode to some of those friends. There was a situation where in like some rural area, the FBI came knocking at this mother's door. And the mother's like, in a very, very Southern thick accent, small town, was like, what can I help you with? And they said, we need to bring something to your attention. The photos you have been posting on Facebook from somebody in your church have ended up on the black web, on the dark web. Currently, what we found when we were doing a child exploitation ring kind of sting and bring down, somebody from your church was selling your daughter's location. Her school, her location, where she goes to activities, and when she'll be in places. And they were selling it to the highest bidder. So for people who live in this cotton candy world that don't have friends like I have, there's a real reality when you put your child out there. You are exposing them to 8 billion people in the world. And we understand statistics and how many within one individual do we actually develop a pedophile, not a minor attractive person, because that's not real, a pedophile, somebody who wants to do harm to a child. And so when we post our children indiscriminately onto platforms where we think that it's not being accessed, all it takes is for somebody that you don't know to screenshot that child and go, this person lives here, this child is here, and this child walks home at this time. It takes one person to see that. The astronomical number that has come out about kids being literally trafficked because of Facebook and Instagram and social media and TikTok and Snapchat is terrifying. And so it's not to scare people to say that you can't share your children. There is way better ways to do it, like group Apple back ends on the phones where you can share albums. That's how we share with the grandparents all over it, right? And in our family, you can go on there and you can see everything. Every day of his life is on there. Every moment he has a photo of a day of his life. It doesn't need to be shared. Now, the people who use their children to sell products, there's a special place in hell for them. And I say that because those children can't consent and those children can't say no. And then every activity after that, there will be a phone brought in and they will wonder, is mommy doing this because they love me? Or is mommy doing this to make money off of me? And I know that's harsh, but welcome to the world of digital media. That stuff never leaves the internet, ever. So children in particular on social is a rough one for me. Now, Casey wants to run around with his shirt off as a grown man, making those decisions to do so. That's totally fine. But I do encourage you and your friends to be cautious of those behaviors just because you don't understand what's out there unless you know what's out there. And then you stop sleeping at night for a little while. But that's fine. That's perfectly normal, right?
And brought to you by Mindful Meds. You guys have been seeing me take Mindful Meds for a little while now. Mindful Meds is a premium supplement company dedicated to supplying humans with the tools to improve their mental health, clarity, and performance, all while supporting their growth along the way. Whether it's the Immunity Blend, Lion's Mane, Inspire, or Voyage, all of their products are clean, tested, consistent, and they've become a huge help in my life. I found Mindful Meds over a year ago now, and I've never looked back. Go check out their website, mindfulmeds.io, and use the code BRASS at checkout.
Hey, you're not wrong. I definitely agree with a lot of that, and it's tough to understand that is something that's out there. That is something that people are experiencing, and that's why it's I mean, I literally have a friend of mine who she has 400,000 followers. She had a baby 2 days ago. I know exactly
Already
what that
on
baby
there.
looks like. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, I don't re I mean, I so being completely open, I have never experienced or known anybody that has experienced that other than what you just told me. So I have not been, I don't have friends that have gone through that. So me, I again, like I said, I just don't know how I feel about it because I've never had anybody be like, this just happened to me. But I'm also, I already think of like, I don't know, like, I don't know how I feel about it. Just like, I love that I, you know, what that kid looks like as a friend. And I'm glad that they shared it so I can see it, but I'm also like, there's a lot of other people that are seeing that you know what your baby look like. I mean, I probably could be more careful of my own things. I post when I'm running and videos, and I don't shield out where I'm going. I don't post like where my start and stop is so people know where I live, but that's probably not hard to figure out.
And I think that's the other thing I try to talk about when it comes to social media. You know, people complain about Instagram. People complain about, you know, the highlight reels and X, you know, X, Y, and Z. But Instagram is one of the best ways to be able to find someone if you're not 100% aware, because your photos have metadata. Like, it's none of this stuff is hard. There's this really incredible guy. Once you have children, I encourage you to take a listen to this guy. His name's Ryan Montgomery. He works, I believe, with the Sentinel Foundation, which is run by Glenn Devitt. And the Sentinel Foundation, is their whole job is to go in and pull kids out. And they have some wild stories. Glenn has been on the Cleared Hot podcast with Andy Stump, and it is one of the harder listens I've listened to in a long time. But Ryan Montgomery was on Sean Ryan discussing how easy it is for people to get access to baby cameras in your home, how easy it is to get access to the monitors, to a lot of different wild things that as a parent, you and I wouldn't think of. You know,
Sure.
in this day and age of technology, there are bad actors out there, and there may be, and people will say, Kelsey, you're fear mongering. No, I'm just telling you the stuff that you're unwilling to look behind the curtains and see. And so Ryan Montgomery has this amazing Instagram where he goes over a lot of this stuff, about how to block your address on Google, how to block your house and blur it out, how to check the metadata on photos. Snapchat is one of the easiest ways to find kids. Snapchat is wild because every time you post something, it posts the metadata of where you are. And so they can see locations are on. And it's insane. The only reason I learned all of this was from Alana Stott. She is works in anti-human trafficking, and she's a member of the British Empire, and her whole thing is educating, one of her things is educating people on how to keep them and their kids safe if they're going to be on social media. And she understands trafficking like nobody's business. She is one of the most intelligent people. That being said, there is a lot to be learned, especially when it comes to socials. So I want to understand your business a little bit more, because you are in fitness and because you are a coach and you run your platforms the way that you do. How do you see yourself progressing and moving forward if, say, social media wasn't an option?
Yeah. And that's something that's very difficult. And 'cause social media is a huge part of how I find clients, how I put my own marketing out there, how people know who I am. And yeah, that's a very tough one. And so then it becomes a question of, well, how do I bridge the gap between a personal and a professional persona? And there's all these different levels of that because social media is, and I in a fearful way, but also a realistic way, I've been thinking about that. Like, how do I mean, I have a decent amount of followers on, and this is great, feeds me clients and feeds me people that I can meet. But what if that goes away? How do I move forward with that? So yeah, that's a great question. I'm still new to this, so I'm still trying to figure that out myself. Of yeah, there's a lot of I don't even know how to answer that. I'm still trying to figure that out myself.
I think that's a great answer right there. I think it's about highlighting the differences between what we use social media for, and what it's, you know, was designed for. And I talk about social media a lot because I think people have a bad taste in their mouth. And I think that there is a lot of really amazing benefits to having social media. And it's one of the things I kind of wanted to highlight with your business, because you've been able to grow it so substantially. And I want to talk a little deeper about that, because we were having a conversation at Not Dead Yet, And, you know, you were comparing yourself to people that we both follow. And it kind of blew my mind a little bit. Well, so-and-so got this many more followers that week and he was doing this. And then, it blew my mind to hear you speak that way. Just because you don't give off that, you know, that comparison type vibe.
Yeah. And it's also funny when you bring up the social media, because that's something I've struggled with of finding, like, it's been a slow trickle in, but because like what I've done, I share what I want when I want. And this is bad business practice. I don't plan my content. I just post when I post. If I go for a 30-mile run, I video some stuff, I chop it together the next day and I post it. If I'm in the car and I'm feeling good, I'll put on the story and I'll post it. Maybe I'll make it a post on my thing, or I'll take a few pictures here and I'll forget about it. And then I'll make a reel out of it later. And because of that, because I don't like have a niche mindset, it's me. My Instagram is me. And so because of that, like, there's a certain amount of growth that I've had, but it's nowhere near when you go an inch deep or an inch wide and a mile deep into a specific topic or a specific niche. It's been difficult for me to like, that's why I find myself comparing, because I mean, we were talking about Matt Johnson. Dude's crushing on Instagram. Dude went from 40,000 followers to, I'm sure I check him like every 3 days because I still compare to him. Just because the algorithm knows, maybe not compare, but I'm actually excited about his growth because he has a very specific niche and he posts some funny stuff. But yeah, like 40,000 to like 170,000 followers or whatever in a few months. But everybody that does that specific thing. Anyway, I just wanted to highlight that because you're like, you've grown substantially, your social media is this. And I always have a difficult relationship with social media and like what I should be doing, what I should be posting. It's difficult. It's tough. I'm still working on that too. A lot of work's in progress.
That's okay. But does social media, do you base your self-worth on that number?
No, but I would be upset if I didn't have it. I'd be upset if my page went away. It's nice to see that number. There's definitely a certain amount of ego involved with it. And I will say it's great to have so many interactions because I try to answer every message that I can. And I try to post things that, you know, like if I'm having a bad day and someone reaches out to me and says, hey, like I really resonated with this. This helped me. This happened. And I have a conversation with them. Like, I love that and the way that I've structured that. For that reason, I love that when a person says they want to work with me, they already know who I am. So I don't have to pitch myself. They're like, you talk about mental health, you talk about your mindfulness, you've done this, you're an ultra runner. Like, I post when, you know, I did a 30-mile run last week and I posted, it sucked. It was really tough. I walked a lot of it. My back still hurts from it. You know, it's like, and they're like, oh, I get it now. Yeah. This person's not just making everything like fruity rainbows and butterflies and like everything perfect. There's definitely a certain amount of internal self-worth that is attached to that. Because I have 50,000 followers, because it took me a while of years of effort to grow to that. When I was a fitness trainer in New York and I would look at the number every single day and figure out how to make it work. It's also like, it didn't come easy for me. I never just went from zero and I've never had a viral post at all, ever. So it's been like a slow trickle since I started it when I first started modeling in New York, like 2016. So yeah, it's kind of like my baby a little bit. It's all me. Well,
yeah, but that's a beautiful thing. It's organic. That's right. And that's the thing you got to remember too. Do you understand how many people are buying their followings?
Yeah, 100%. It's easy. It's so easy to spot, and it completely contaminates everything they do on their social forever after that.
Yeah, it does 100%. And I think people think that, like, I mean, I've had individuals be like, why don't you just go buy a bunch more numbers? I'm like,
it's so silly when you see someone with 500,000 followers and they get, you know, 10 comments on their thing. And it's like, that's just sad. And like, bro, why? I get it. Cause it does spark the algorithm sometimes. I mean, people pay these content farms or whatever to, you know, these brands that have, you know, 1,000 phones hooked up and they can like your photo and drive the algorithm up, and it works. But when you buy followers and buy those things, then it just becomes so, it's just weird. I'm not a huge fan of that. It's really easy to spot, and brands know. So like, if you're doing it for business, it doesn't help.
Yeah. No, yeah. I've seen it with some people in our community. I've seen it, and they're like, oh no, I made this. And I was like, no, you didn't.
Right.
like a lot, and the communities talk, right? All of these communities, all these niches, especially I feel like in our space, which is like mental health, fitness, wellness, veteran, you know, they're all very closely adjacent. They're all kind of running linear to each other. Yeah. And some of them overlap. And it's interesting to see, because it blew my mind when I had a friend of mine who's tapped into more the YouTube side of things and be like, oh yeah, so-and-so, 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 and so-and-so all have big followings because they all bought them. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? And they're like, yeah, you didn't know that? I'm like,
mind blown.
Maybe I'm just like wet behind the ears here and not understanding that that is something people do. Like, I had no clue for the longest time that that was like a thing that you could do.
And isn't it funny too, if you saw someone with 1 million followers and you followed them for years, and then someone came in and told you that they bought 900,000 of those, like how the value in your mind of them would totally shift.
It's not even that like the value would shift. It's more the character and integrity would shift.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Huberman. Let's talk about that. I want to see your opinion on this. So all of this kind of stuff has kind of come out about Andrew Huberman over the past week. I think it's like an attempt at cancellation. This guy is like water off a duck's back, like just went right back to videos, didn't address it, didn't say shit about it. It's funny too, because years ago when I did a big show, that major podcaster who's very good friends with him was telling me stories about the same behavior. I already knew this was happening. Anybody who knew anybody knew this guy was fucking, like, how could you not look at him? He's famous. He's a Stanford professor. Of course he is. Like, I'm sorry. If you know any professional athlete, you know any sort of industry, the top of the top. I'm married to a professional athlete. Like, I understand this world. And I'm not saying it's like right or wrong, but I'm curious to know your perspective on it, because we were just talking about, you know, integrity and character. It's like, does that for you change how you view him, knowing now kind of what was released?
Well, so you have to update me a little bit, because I saw that stuff happen, but I try to stick away from those. I don't want to call it a clickbait story, but like, if I know that I read something and it's gonna like not be a good part of my day, I try to stay away from it a bit.
And it feels clickbaity, and that's why I said, because it just doesn't even seem to be affecting him at all. And whatever, if that's how he wants to live his life. I know plenty of people that are polyamorous. So essentially what happened was, it came out that this individual was writing a story about him and she didn't get a response for him. So then she turned around and started going to all his jilted, you know, ex-lovers, and was found out apparently he's been, you know, dating and sleeping with 6 women at a time. Isn't that like Mormonism? Like, is that not just what polyamory kind of is? Isn't that what we've accepted?
Is he married?
No.
So it's just that he sleeps around?
Yeah, who cares?
Well, I don't, it's just that he sleeps around. Like,
I get it.
What moral code does that break?
I guess then, so here's what I'm curious about, right? Because you're somebody who's married, has been married for a while. Now, if it came out that Casey, who had this, you know, world's number one podcast, was cheating on his wife, I think that would affect the way I look at you, character and integrity wise. Sure. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
But if Casey, who's not married, just has 6 side chicks, but also still has a world best podcast, do you think, would that affect your view of integrity and character on that person?
That's so interesting. It's not that I see nothing wrong, but that doesn't really I don't see what moral code that's just someone's behavior. Like you said, there's polyamorous people. I know like some of my friends that go to like sex clubs. Cool, man. Not my thing. Do your thing. I don't think any differently of you. Like,
right.
I don't know the story. Did it come out that he was like disrespectful to women, or is it just that he has 6 girlfriends?
Right. Yeah. So I don't know the full extent, but I do know, like I said, one other person told me that. Sorry, I just hear the story in my head. It was like, yeah, he would. Yeah, he slept with this chick, and then the next day she came up and he shook her hand and said thanks, and that was the end of the course.
I mean, like,
I'm sorry if you shake my hand. I'm sorry. And then consequently, I said that to my husband. And then after we had sex one night, he shook my hand.
Oh, of course. How did you feel? Like, well, thank you very much.
Thank you for that. Like, I just think that's hilarious.
Didn't it come out that like A-Rod or Jeter like used to give like gift baskets or something after?
It's amazing.
I kind of respect that. I'm like, you know what? I don't know. I might take a gift basket after something like that. Like, thank you. I
Take a gift
appreciate it.
basket for
It's,
sleeping with A-Rod?
oh, I mean, yeah. Listen,
Is it monogrammed? That's what I want to
was
know.
it personalized or did you order it in bulk?
Exactly.
Did you?
The reason I bring this up is because I think character and integrity matter. I think that if consenting adults in anything, in any decision, are consenting adults, I think it's whatever. But I think character and integrity matter, and they matter to people like you. And things like buying followers and doing certain behaviors, it's going to leave an interesting taste in people's mouths. So I think that's what differentiates you with a lot of people, in my opinion, is that I can see the organic growth. I can see the hard-earned effort. I can see the, I wouldn't have guessed that you weren't planning your posts. No, seriously.
Totally random.
Right.
Totally.
But
Which is, yeah.
isn't that like the best part about it though? Isn't that what social media is supposed to be? It's supposed to be this
It's supposed
Insta
to be. Yeah, it's supposed
thing.
to be. I think again, as a business practice, it's not the best business practice. I would think I would like to be. I try not to say that word. I want to be more curating. So it takes my mental effort too, because
Right.
when we were in the pandemic specifically, so my wife and I were then living in a one bedroom apartment in New York, and we had a fantastic terrace. We just moved into this penthouse apartment, penthouse, the seven story building, nothing crazy, but we were lucky enough to have outdoor space. I would wake up every day. What should I post? What should I post today? Yesterday's would and it was either yesterday's post was really good. Great. How do I back it up? Or yesterday's post didn't do well. Okay, how do I switch that? It's the same result. So it's never like. But I would always wake up, and it got bad where I was just like, I can't. I need to take a break because I pin the throttle, I go for it every day, and then I just need a break, and I'll take a month off, because I'm like, how do I figure this out? How do I do that? But yeah, if I was to post, like, plan out, hey, on Mondays we do an educational post, on Wednesdays I'm going to do a workout, on Friday I'm going to do a growth post or something that tries to go viral with entertainment, and then Saturday is free for all. I'm leaning towards that recently, honestly, because it takes just the mental bandwidth. But yeah, everything that I do is totally random, so doesn't really help my ADHD mentality of bouncing back and forth and not being able to focus on anything. But it does show exactly who I am when I post exactly just what I want.
Yeah, I would value following that page over these other ones. I don't care, frankly, about numbers. It helps get you paid more every month by sponsors, but other than that, it's could be taken away at a drop of a dime. I think Instagram and Facebook crashed a couple weeks ago for like 20 minutes, and people went mental.
Oh yeah, it was crazy. I remember that. It was kind of nice because I was going to post something and then I was like, well, I guess it's not working. I'll shut my phone off and go do something else.
That's
Because it's like
amazing.
I make money off Instagram, but not all of my money, and I don't rely, I don't have a business that needs 10,000 people subscribing. I work with less than 30 people at a time, so the
Right.
numbers are kind of easier for me too. And that's how I structured my business of I don't want to have to need to impact 10,000 people in a day. I just want to, and that's, I think that I've switched that, and not to like switch topics, but I think
No,
that
go for it.
I'm just realizing that I think I, because I was a very scattered and not very deep on a certain topic with my Instagram, I think that's why I gravitated towards away from all these like people in my industry saying, start an app, get 4,000 subscribers, you make this money. I was like, but what if I can just obviously charge more, have 30 people, and like work with them really intentionally? And so take that inch wide and go a mile deep with 30 people. And so that's why it's been like such a, I'm realizing just talking through it, I'm like, ah, that's why I gravitate towards it. Because I don't have to figure out how to get attention of 20,000 eyes. It's just, I need 30 people that really trust me. That, or whatever the amount is that I feel like I financially can survive, and then I can put everything that I have into these people.
It, but that's fantastic. I love that you're working this out actively right now.
I try to acknowledge it when something happens, and that's something I've learned in the past couple of years of working on things. I acknowledge when I have good moments. I acknowledge when I learn something. I acknowledge when I'm detecting a behavior that I don't want to continue. And it's something that I think it might have even come up on at our retreat of observe, don't absorb. You might have even said that. I think it was something that, yeah. And I've used that since then. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna acknowledge something. I'm gonna observe it. Don't need to take it in, but it's there. That's there. So like when I stop myself from saying should, Like, I'm trying not to say that anymore. I'll stop, back up, restart at that part of the sentence that I want to reframe. Or yeah, if I notice something like this, okay, I'm gonna talk, can I pause you here? I'm gonna tell you what I just learned about myself through this conversation with you. Cool. Now I just wrote that down. You know, all these things and things that I've learned about myself. And it's fun because when I learn something myself, then it's like, okay, cool. I'm literally working because now I get something else that I can teach my clients because I'm the guinea pig. And I can tell you, hey, this worked for me. Here's how we change a behavior. We acknowledge it. Boom. And I know it works because I've used it. It's interesting.
But
It's just
that's the
fun.
difference between this is fun, he says. I think this is fun. It's interesting because you, in a world where everybody thinks they can be a coach, and the 20, I love the 20-year-old coaches. I love the 20-year-old coaches. They make me giggle inside. So the reason I say that is because what you just did there is the definition of a good coach. It means you've learned something, you walked the path, you took it on, you changed the behavior, and then now you're implementing it. That's the difference right there.
It's funny that you say that too, because I've had, and it is very popular right now to be a coach, especially in the digital space of here's, you know, if you want to, somebody buys a $7.99 program that teaches them how to sell a $7.99 program, and then they just, it's, you know, multi-level marketing craziness, or the coaches that teach you how, like, this is how you're gonna, I don't know. When I was in my early 20s, like doing the fitness stuff and trying to figure myself, you know, figure my life out. Still trying to figure that out 20, 10 years later. I had a friend that he was a life coach and he was, you know, 23, 24, and he was good at it. Good speaker. But I was always in my head, I'm like, how are you telling people how to be successful? Like, who are you? Like, what have you done? What experience do you have? And I'm torn about my opinion back then because I still believe that. I still like he's still doing it. He's doing a great job. And I think he kind of experienced and explored that before and everybody started gravitating towards it. So like good for him. But I also like I wouldn't take advice from myself 10 years ago, not at all. And if I didn't have to battle through deep depression, significant anxiety, if I didn't still wake up every day with a certain amount of anxiety and multiple times a day have to acknowledge, okay, my body's reacting a certain way, I need to breathe. Let that go down, and then I can work on whatever I'm feeling. Like I have to use the tools that I teach every single day. But yeah, it's funny because how things change after you experience. Because I look at that dude now, and he's still doing a great job. He's like talking on stage with Lewis Howes and things like that. Like good for you, man. Like he's a good speaker. He's obviously been sticking with it for 10 years, so now he has 10 more years of experience. I respect that for sure. But yeah, I would never have been coached by myself 10 years ago, 8 years ago without going through something. Like, how are you going to teach me how to do something that you're not like if, and here's an unpopular opinion. I don't think I would take advice as much from a fitness coach that didn't have a certain level of objective health.
I love that. So let's lean into that. How do you feel about overweight doctors?
Yeah, I mean, like, depends on what you're trying to tell me. Like, I
No,
tell
no,
people
no. No, no,
how I feel about overweight doctors.
no. Overweight doctors. So you're okay. So by definition, what you were just saying there, well, depends on what you're trying to tell me. So what if a cardiologist spoke to you and they were overweight and they started to advise you on what to eat?
Now, but here's where I'll come back to you. They're not coaching me. They're telling me what they know from experience, from they're explaining information. They're not saying like, let me show you how I've done this. Here's my experience. Like a fitness coach would be like, this is how you, well, how, yes, I would not respect a doctor as much if they're not in health, but like a doctor, like no, most of them aren't. I just need you to tell me like, is my heart okay? Like read the thing over there and tell me what I'm supposed to do. Like, tell me the science that you paid $300,000 to learn so that I don't have to learn it. If a person like a health coach is telling me how to be healthy, how to grow, like I always self-deprecate with this joke, but if I told someone how to grow massive calves and look at my legs, I'm not selling that ebook. Let me just say, like, but at the same time, I know how to do it. I could tell you how to grow your calves. I know the information. I know what works. I've tried it. It doesn't work on me because like, you know, we only get so many muscle fibers in certain areas of our body, but But if you have the right genetics, I could teach you how to do it.
Right.
An overweight doctor, sure. Tell me. I know what you want
See?
me to say. I know
See?
what you want me
No.
to say,
I don't know.
but I know
No,
what I
I'm
should
being
say.
honest. Okay.
Do I?
No.
I'll be
Hold
honest
on.
too.
Hold on.
I don't really care because I'm not respecting that person as like, I want to be like you.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, tell me the science, tell me how my vitals are, tell me what I should do. And I trust myself to go put the work in. Would I have that person like keep me accountable and, and listen to their podcast or whatever they're trying to pump out if they don't have the ability to take care of themselves?
Right.
No. And I also I tread lightly on that because I know that from an objective perspective, you have no idea what someone has had to go through. So
For
that
sure.
doctor might have been 300 pounds because of an injury or some sort of limitation, and they are now 220. Good for you. You lost 80 pounds.
Right.
You know what I mean? If I'm looking at someone, I'm not going to say like, I don't respect people that are overweight. If I observe
It's not about
behavior,
respect. I didn't say respect. I said take advice from a
fair.
medical doctor. I didn't say respect. There's
Okay,
difference.
that's fair. Would I take it? Well,
Because medical doctors are the ones that are telling you, take the pill, don't go outside,
sure.
don't move your body, and eat processed foods. And that is a fucking fact. So these doctors are all overweight because they're taking their own advice. How has that worked out for American healthcare
Well, it's made them
or
a lot of money.
society? And
Yeah.
okay, and how has that worked out for
Yeah.
American society, which is what, 60 some odd percent overweight chronically?
It's
And
it's.
Ozempic is now the childhood solution to pediatrics.
I didn't know that they were pushing it on kids now.
Ha! Welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, yeah, that's a whole interesting topic too.
Yeah, do you want to go into it?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean,
Okay.
I'm trying to think of what. Yeah, I was listening to a podcast about fitness trainers, and they were talking about it, and they were testing it out. Do you follow Mind Pump?
I don't. I will
So
now.
they, they're tra former trainers. They've been in the industry for 20 years, whatever. They have their own opinions about a bunch of other stuff, but as far as like they test out peptides and Ozempic and things like that, and I mean they again, this is I have not done a huge amount of research into it, but I do know a bariatric surgeon down here that was telling me about it, and I talked just like opinions of friends and podcasts. Something that helps people lose weight. It doesn't seem to have side effects if you're an adult and you can use it. I
That's
don't.
just not true at all, though,
Well,
right
and
there.
then let's have a conversation about it. That's what I mean. I'm not an expert on it, but I think it is. It's something very interesting because we've never had something like this yet, I don't think.
So there is a first class action lawsuit coming out against it. There
Okay.
is. So Ozempic in itself, I don't care what anybody has an opinion on me about this because I don't care about other people's opinions of me. So let's just start with that. With I think it's a fucking cheat code. And I think that this is not more difficult than this. Calories in, you eat more, you gain weight. Calories in, you eat less, you lose weight. This is not
Sure.
rocket science. Now, am I empathetic towards childhood trauma where the majority of people's overweight comfort food eating style comes from? Yes, because I am one out of an entire family and extended family who is in shape. And I grew up with watching the struggles of my mother and my family members, overweight, diabetic, and unhealthy. Now, do you have to do that? No. Do you have every piece of information around you in the world to heal yourself, educate yourself, fix yourself? Yes. Do you do it? No. Awareness is the finish line. Once you're aware, you then decide. So, do I think Ozempic's great? No. I think it's a really great way for pharmaceutical companies to inject and cause people to be on medication long term for the rest of their lives. For sure. Do we understand the full repercussions of it long term yet? No, we do not.
Sure.
Should we be giving it to children with growing bodies and growing minds that we don't understand the long term repercussions of? And things like paralyzed stomachs and bladder issues and gut health issues. And do we understand that 90% of serotonin comes from the gut? Yes. So instead of pushing a drug, why don't we push fitness? Why don't we push clean food? Why don't we
Sure.
push healthier environments? But we don't because it doesn't make us money. It doesn't make us money. How much money does it cost for one person for 1 year to be on Ozempic? Do you know? I believe it is between $20,000 and $40,000 for the actual drug. Now it's covered under healthcare, so it's a little bit different, right? So if you take that and you know that those people have to be on it for the rest of their life.
See, I didn't know that. Is that we if you take Ozempic, you have to be on it forever?
Well, because the second you stop, it stops. So the people that want to maintain their weight, we do understand that when you come off of it, what ends up happening? Your appetite comes back. People
Sure.
overeat. And then what
Well,
happens? You gain your weight
let's
back.
talk about that though.
Okay.
And this is again, I do not agree with giving that stuff to kids. Like regardless, I mean,
Right.
every instance is individualized, and I'm, you know, not going to go into individual circumstances about it. But like, yeah, kids, that's behavior patterns. However, what if you gave someone Ozempic or something like that? They because it you, like you're saying, it doesn't work if you don't maintain healthy habits. But what if they learn healthy habits during it, and then they have the opportunity to now be a certain amount of weight lighter, and they adapt healthy lifestyle. They realize, oh wow, I'm 100 pounds lighter now. I can move better. Let me actually put work into myself, and that becomes the step stool for them to get to where they're going.
Then
Devil's
fuck yeah,
advocate.
let then, you know, fuck yeah, let's go all day. But that's not
Okay,
reality.
but it could be. Could
In a
be.
world, in a day and age where everyone reaches for a pill the second they feel an ache and a pain, in a world, in a day and age where everybody reaches for every single shot to protect them from a flu that's always been around, in a world, in a day and age when you could get up and walk to the grocery store, but instead you have somebody bring it to your door, do we really, in your heart of hearts, believe truly that that's how it's going to be used?
Oh no. But are we talking about the administration of this drug, or are we talking about what the actual drug does?
Bit of
That's the
both.
converse. That's what I mean though, because if something was administered in the right way to the right people at the right time, and all it does was suppress appetite and give you the opportunity to learn what a healthy lifestyle is, and maybe not have those cravings, and not have that obsession with food, and maybe just because what I've heard is, and again, this goes back to the podcast I was listening, and these guys are just testing it out. And these are fit dudes that have the discipline. And he was like, yeah, I usually like kind of crush a ton of ice cream at night, and I just didn't really want to. And so like, if that's something that can help you with cravings for whatever reason, if it's studied, and yes, obviously you don't want to mess with your gut biome and things like that. But as a tool used in the right way is very different than how things are going to be pushed.
Okay,
Right.
so then
Obviously,
let's.
this is going to be given to someone and be like, yeah, take this here. No, forget about healthy lifestyle. That'll take too long. Here's this. However, you know, again, let's talk extremes. Let's talk about someone who was in a car accident that can't move their legs, and it's just been really difficult for them to get that caloric burn, and for whatever reason, like there's if this can help them suppress the appetite and they can learn healthy habits and how to move, I'm all for that.
I'm all for that,
Right.
but
And I know, and you're right. It's not going to be used that way. And it's just the same way as like, are we ever going to cure cancer? It's probably already been cured.
it
I mean,
has.
it's
Move on.
right. Like,
Next.
but in theory, like things in theory versus application are different.
Right.
Now, what I would say is like, as a drug, and again, this is what my bariatric surgeon friend was being. He was like, dude, it works. I don't see any,
Yeah, it
like,
works.
it works. And if you do it right, what I've seen, the only thing that I've seen as a negative firsthand is that people that take it that don't know how to get, they don't eat enough protein, and they end up being catabolic and lose muscle.
Right.
So they're
But
not
that's a side
educated
effect. Yeah,
enough.
that's a side effect of it, right? You'll deteriorate in muscle. Your bone mass will actually become a little more frail if you're not putting weight onto and you're actually building. You have to
Yeah.
be
And that's the
doing things
thing
with
is
it.
there's sure the same way. Like if you'd go by calories in versus calories out is very different than going in calories in versus of like Whoppers and chicken nuggets versus calories in of well, whole foods. That's an education. That's an application standpoint for sure.
Okay,
So I
so
see that. And like I said, I want to play devil's advocate a little bit as far as what it is versus how it's being applied and how it's going to be pushed. Very
I think it's
different.
effective. I think there are long-term repercussions, like we're finding out about other vaccines that we don't fully understand that are causing, you know, just catatonic level, just absolutely, sorry, not catatonic, catastrophic levels in life expectancy across multiple countries, but I digress. So what happens when we give somebody this? What if instead of just giving them something, we actually said, we'll give you this, but you also have to complete this class on nutrition and health.
Sure.
We'll give you this, but let's actually go back to the root of the problem instead of putting another Band-Aid over top of the issue.
Got to pass a driver's exam to be driving on the road, for sure. Like all these things. And mm-hmm. education, sure, that's very different. And that's where you come to, again, to the application of what you actually have. The product, sure, it works, it helps you. You know, we don't know long-term, obviously, that's going to be a whole other discussion. But is it going to be given to people that only people that need it? Or, you know, I already know people that literally just wanted to lose some weight and they didn't want to put the work in. And they were like, yeah, I just want to be really fit. Like, you're already maybe 20% body fat as a woman. Like, why are you trying to get down to 12? Not really that healthy anyway. My opinions on these things. But yeah, I mean, I think that's, I used to work in healthcare. I did medical sales for a little bit, and I saw firsthand how everything, a lot of things in healthcare, it's money. I mean, everything is money based in healthcare for sure. Same thing with the teachers. Are you going to get the best teachers? No. Are you going to get the best healthcare that is the best for your body unless you seek out a specific doctor who is like against the grain with everything? No. You're going to get given what makes money and what they can reimburse and all this stuff. So yeah,
that's why I asked you this, because I know your past more than you think I do. And I want to know your opinion on these things because you've actually walked the path, know what it's like to be in the environment.
Yeah.
So if you know how things are pushed and sold, you understand the system.
Yeah, yes, 100%. And that's why, again, if I were the doctor, or I don't know as much as a doctor does in their field, but if I, as a person who in my values was analyzing and figuring out who needs this drug, sure, that's different than someone who's like, because I literally used to not sell, but I would encourage doctors to bring their patients to my cardiology office that I was working for to do a cardiac PET scan, which most, if not everybody, could benefit from. Did everybody that they sent over really absolutely need it? No, but it didn't harm them. It did give them more information, and the doctors could reimburse for it. Now, was that shady? Gray area, I would say, because I'm not prescribing. I just tell them what the product was and what it does. And I fully believe that it helps people understand more about their heart and things like that. But the second I started talking about them, okay, what does it reimburse? How much can you pay me? Can you buy lunch for my whole office next week? It's like pharmaceutical reps. It's like they have a full schedule of when you want to buy lunch for the office. It's so schemey and so shady.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's literally you walk in and the front desk used to hand me a thing and say, okay, well, these days are already being bought by Pfizer and all this other stuff. What days do you want to buy lunch for the office? Well, not Pfizer, because that's a like Stripe. I forget the names. All these that's pharmaceutical all right. brands. Yeah. But it's
There's
like, yeah, these reps just come in, they buy lunch, and it's like, okay, cool. Now I get you for 30 minutes. Let's talk about this new product. That's how it's always been.
But that's like, my point is, as a coach now, as you've developed into who you are, like you said, those 10, you wouldn't have taken advice 10 years ago, but you would take advice from you now. So knowing what you know, knowing where the world's at, knowing these cheat codes, because if they were only used for individuals in dire need that were truly obese, that it was affecting their health long-term, and it was only available for people with programs attached to them, now that you know all of this, how do you move forward and guide your clients to not go on something like Ozempic and to show up and do the work, and not only do the work, be actually committed?
Yeah. And that's obviously, I'm going to be teaching and coaching my clients in a way that I find to be, sorry, my wife's coming in with all these beeping.
That's okay.
Coaching my clients to learn. So the way that I coach is, I'm going to give you the tools and I'm going to teach you everything that I'm doing. So when I onboard a client, I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to tell you exactly how I'm going to figure out what we're going to be eating. These are the workouts, and this is why I put it there. This is what I want you doing. I teach them BMR, total daily energy expenditure, where we want to put our calories and why, calories in, calories out. I want you to graduate and not need me. Does every coach do that? Hell no. Like, I'm literally trying to get people to leave me so that they can go and apply what they're learning. Again, another thing that I do that isn't the best business practice, but you're not going to get most people with values that really care about what they're doing. Most people don't. Most people are trying to make money, like we started talking about in the beginning, because they feel like value is attached to what car they drive and how much money they make.
This is why I wanted to talk to you about this. Do you see where the conversation is going and why? Because you're
Oh,
a
yeah.
radically different coach. You're a coach that shows up and you go all in. Somebody said to me that I'm not the coach that sits in the stands. I'm the one that's in the ring with you. And I think that's what you are too. That's why I wanted to highlight you and talk about you and talk about your wins and your losses, because you're a radically different coach than the majority that I know. And I think your business practice, yes, may be a bad business practice. Well, then fuck it. If it's a bad business practice, but I'm helping people do what they're paying me to help them do, and I'm getting them to the next step in their life, and they don't need me, then from a character and integrity standpoint, isn't that exactly what we're supposed to be doing?
Yeah, ideally. And I would lie to you if I was saying that I operate only off of my passion and feeling the way. I have to screenshot clients when they send me things and like reread it and remind myself sometimes when I start adding up the numbers and being like, well, I could make more. I look back at those messages and understand and remind myself like this is making real change and helping people actually grow in their life. It's not like I'm a totally altruistic person. There's still a big part of me who is trying to make money. Who's trying to? I like nice things. I mean,
There's
as
nothing
much as
wrong with that.
yeah. So, but it's like, yeah, there's a lot of what you see and what I go through to put that out, like the conflicting thought patterns, the conflicting actions every day. Like when you say, like, I've seen how authentic you are in social media, I wanted to highlight that. Yeah, it takes me a lot of time to actually post on social media, and there's a lot of I'm not super proud of how much growth that I've had, but you're complimenting me on my organic growth. So, and with my clients too, when they're like, hey man, like I fell off, I didn't do this, and I'm like, bro, like here's what I didn't do this week, and here's what I'm working on
Exactly.
too. It's like, and that's why when I'm sitting in my office and I'm like, I'm about to go do my weekly therapy session, this is what I'm talking with my therapist, and people reach out, I'm like, wow, it's nice to see a guy actually promote therapy and all this. Like, yeah, like that's it's. I have to remind myself what you're saying is that not everybody is operating in that way of being authentic, of leading from the front and actually operating. And I don't want to be that doctor that's telling you what to do, but he's overweight. I don't want to be that health coach. I want to remain as fit as possible. Like, I'm running 50 miles on Saturday, to train for a 100 mile race this year. I've never done 100 miles. But I'm not going to tell someone that they need to challenge themselves and find that outer limit of their physical and mental capabilities if I'm not willing to do it myself. I would never tell someone to do something that I have not done or am not willing to do.
Have you gotten to a point now while you're doing it for you?
Well, I'm doing what, my coaching?
No.
Oh, the running?
No.
What?
Go back to the weekend. Go back to the conversation. Are you doing these things to fill Casey?
Oh
Or are you
yeah.
doing these things for otherwise?
It's both. It's both. It's more Casey, but it's both. I mean, I
Right.
feel super alive when I do all the things for myself, and I'm starting to understand and do things. And I think that's it's funny too, because that I've seen, you know, good growth for social media for me is different than someone who's going viral, but like I've seen more followers come in lately, and I'm posting my runs and I'm posting like things that I like to post, and I'm going and I haven't run an ultra marathon in years and since 2019. Because I've been running marathons and trying to chase, it doesn't sound that different, but it really is different,
It is different.
of chasing a certain time of like, I have to run all 6 world majors. I have to run up under 3 hours and then I'm not successful. But now I'm like, well, I actually like being in nature. I like kind of just running for a long time. I like running slow and enjoying what I'm doing. And I also like kicking my own ass really much, like hard, like doing hard stuff. And then it gets compounded because I get to share about it. Like, yeah, it's exciting for me to kick my ass and understand, wow, I just ran 30 miles. That sucked completely the whole time. And then I share the process and people are like, wow, that's so inspiring. I'm like, I'm glad it inspires you, but I was just running and filming it and it was really fun for me. So like, am I doing it for me? Yeah. But am I excited to like tell people I ran 100 miles if I do? Hell yeah. That too.
Yeah,
Like
but
it's an
that's
ego
okay.
thing.
But yeah, but
Yeah.
that's okay because it's what's feeding it, right? It's the why. We talked about this on the weekend. What is the why? If the why is heavily on, I want to tell everyone about it, then the why is wrong. If the
Yeah.
why is, I love it because it fills my soul and puts it on fire, then that right there is the
Yeah.
magic. And
And
that's
you were
why
like,
you're seeing that.
remember when
Engagement.
you were like, I challenge you to run the 100 miles and not tell anybody. And
You
inside, I'm
couldn't
like, hell
fucking
no.
do it.
Like, no, I'm
I
still
couldn't
not
do
going to
it.
do it. Are you kidding
I
me?
know. I know you're not. I
But
know
not
you're
just,
not.
but not solely because I want to be like, look at me, I ran 100 miles. Because I know that that's going to inspire people.
Of
And I
course it
know that
is.
that's, but it's also like, it's not like given to me. Again, it's like not
Exactly.
like a viral post. It's not like something that was easy. Like, if I run 100 miles and if all goes well, I'm running nonstop for 25 hours in the Rocky Mountains. Like, I'm freaking proud of that. And I'm going to tell everybody I know about that. And I'm going to wait for my wife to tell people when we're at dinner,
Right.
like, Casey just ran 100 miles. And I'm going to be like, yeah, you
Yes, I
fucking did.
did.
That's right. That's
So one
right.
of the best ways to start that is to stop saying if and start saying when.
Yeah. Well, yes. yes. When.
When it goes well, when it all goes well,
Yeah,
when.
I you're right. I will also understand that 100, a lot of things could happen 100 miles,
It's
uncharted
okay.
territory.
It's
But
okay.
yeah, my wife is already scared because she knows that if I don't finish, it's probably because I broke something or because my body just completely shut down. But if she's listening in the other room, I will be safe and make sure that I don't hurt myself too much.
You're gonna be great. I think
Yeah,
that's the
no.
difference. You're going to be great
Well,
because you
thank you.
already are great. And I think that's something I wish you would see more of what we see, is that you already are great, Casey. You
Finding the
don't need
balance
to go
more.
out and do these things to find greatness. You are just as you are.
Thank you. I received that.
Yes, that's what I was waiting for.
Working
Yes.
on it.
Hey, man.
It's a balance, and it's been and that's it's funny because two things. One, I still like I remember now why we connected so well on that weekend because you talk really freely and like you know you're I can tell and this could be an outside perspective but for an outside perspective you seem very confident in who you are, and I only say it that way because like people say that about me and I know that a lot of things go back and forth, but you also really remind me of my older sister. And like she's such a badass. She's an artist. She's an extreme sports athlete. And she's just like, I don't, you know, fucking care. I'm who I am. And so like I resonate that. So when you tell me that thing, it's almost like from a sibling's perspective. So, you know, I really respect everything that you're saying.
I appreciate that. But you know what
Yeah.
the reality is? There's
What's that?
8 billion people in the world, Casey. You cannot be liked by all of them, because to
I
be
know.
liked by all of them means to have no line, to have no true north, to have no character, to know who you are. It's okay that people don't like me. That's okay, because there is 1 billion other people out there that do. And also, their opinion of me is none of my fucking business.
Yeah. I think it's also a reason that like I almost don't want to have viral content because the viral content is things that are super polarizing. And like the pages that go really like grow really fast are because people are arguing in the comments.
Okay,
And I just
so
have
can you explain some what constitutes a viral post? Like, is there a number?
No, I mean it's you can see it if it's some you know in my mind a viral post is well, 500,000 views for people that I'm following mostly or 1 million views or something. I mean I've never I've, a viral post for me would be like 100,000 views, and I'd call that viral. But things that like grow exceptionally fast compared to the other stuff that you're posting, I think would be like the definition.
Okay,
But
so I'm
yeah, it's
experiencing one right now then for the
oh
first
yeah,
time.
viral post.
Yeah, it's weird.
Is it polarizing content?
No, well, I mean, I think it's positive polarizing content. I did
Is
an
it a
episode with
bikini pic?
no, it's not. God, those don't go viral. I'm not in good enough shape for that. No, it is from an episode I did with Candace, chatting with Candace Horbeck. She had a past career as a performer, because I prefer to call her that, but as a performer. She has an incredible show, but we both flew down to Austin and did an episode together, and we did a joint episode, and she posted a clip, and then all three of us, like her platforms and my platform, shared it. And I think it's probably going to hit 600,000 views today. And it's about the fact that men are going through something right now in our day and age that is being perpetuated by TikTok and social media, and the way that we tell young men and young boys that it's unacceptable to cry, and that it's unacceptable to feel, and that it's unacceptable to have emotions or opinions on things around hard things in life. And it bothers me because we have a generation of women who sit there and say that we don't need men, and that we, that men don't need to exist, and that we can have, you know, we can have families without men, you know, women, you know, that men essentially are the patriarchy, the patriarchy. They're the reason why women are held down. They're all of these things. And it bothers me because right now we have 4 times more suicides post 9/11 GWAT war, so Afghanistan and Iraq, than we did during the war. And we're not sounding an alarm. We have more men taking their own lives. And we were talking about a compilation video that she had posted. And it was of all of these really amazing dads and all of the last days of their lives. And the photos and videos of them were laughing with their children and they were playing with them. And then the next day they all took their lives. And it bothers me. And I've sat across from people at dinner tables where they've said, they went through one of the hardest things that I will not talk about. But they went through one of the hardest things I've ever heard someone have to do, and said that they didn't cry and they would not cry in front of their spouse and child because they didn't want them to think that they were weak. And that devastated me, because that means that we are telling people, especially young men and young boys, that when you cry, you're weak. That when you don't feel anything, that's how we want you. Stoic, strong. And that's not what it means to be a strong man. Mm-hmm. It means to feel your emotions and express them. So no, it wasn't, I don't think it was, it's been polarizing because I see a lot of men jumping in saying, you're right, we have no one to talk to.
Right.
And we all feel
so it's more of a discussion starter.
Well, then you get the other side. You get the other side where men are calling other men weak.
Yeah. I've had that.
What?
Well, yeah, because I post, one of my first posts or that I pinned is like the label is just, I'm a man, and it shows me lifting and every repetition. Yeah. It says like, I lift weights, I protect my family. And then there's a pause. I switch arms. And then it says like, I go to therapy. I cry. I'm working on myself. And that makes me no less of a man. And I've had people comment like, this is hilarious. This is stupid.
No,
ha
it's
ha
not.
Ha. Like, what a loser. And I'm like, I mean, that doesn't hit me at all, because it's like, you know, I've seen so much benefit of sharing my experience. I'm on the opposite spectrum of like, yeah, I'll cry when I watch America's Got Talent or The Voice. Like, I'll cry.
Yeah, but do you know how beautiful that is, Casey, and how much of a value that will be to your children?
Oh, I'm excited
because you're willing.
Yeah, and to be fair, my father has never, I mean, I've seen him cry a few times. He doesn't cry much, but he's never hides his emotions. It's actually been really great, because I think with me, and I hope this is true, but this is how I interpret it, with me, like in the past 4 or 5 years, exploring and sharing my story and my struggles a little bit more, he's been, you know, his girlfriend has told me like, hey, he's been much more open. He's been exploring his emotions and really understanding what he feels, and, you know, it's, and that feels great. But yeah.
When you lead from the front, you give all the others permission.
Yeah. Would I have loved to not experience what I've felt to learn all this? Sometimes, sure. But being on the other side of it is much easier to look back, and, you know, being in it is different. You know, everybody told me when I was calling all my friends and saying, hey, I'm in a dark place, can you just call me? Can you help me? Like, here's, you know, and that's what I did. I reached out to as many people as I could trust. I said, listen, this is a really tough time for me. Like, I'm feeling bad. I don't like myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not in a good place. Can you check up on me? Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to do the same thing, but they're all like, you know, I've been through this too. Like, I talked to my uncle. He's like, I remember I got laid off and thought everything was going to go, but then I started this other path. And everybody was like, oh, you know, it's the darkest before the dawn. You got to get hit the rock bottom to climb. And I'm always like, oh, it's bullshit. And like, now being on the other side, or probably up a significant part of the mountain, I would say, and looking back and understanding where that has led me. Yeah, it's much easier after the fact, but it is all true. Everything swings on a pendulum. It gives you the opportunity to understand, well, there's the bottom. And if that's the lowest point that I can fall back to, okay. I used, you know, I had a had a journal, and I would just put a smiley face at the top of it, how I felt every day. And I remember looking back and looking at all the frowny faces day after day, but they were still faces. And like I shared with you, it was like, sometimes it was tough to just keep, you know, wanting to put another smiley face on that because it was another frown, another frown. Oh, it was only a, there was a half smile face, or there was like the, I don't know what you'd call that, like the mouth straight across face. Yeah, I mean it's tough to go through stuff, but I mean there's so many guys that are that guys specifically that just don't know, they don't have that sounding board of people that are setting the example of, dude, yeah, your feelings are valid. This is tough stuff. Like, let's talk about it. Don't be afraid to cry. And then there's also these pages, and I'm not going to talk about this person, but like this one guy that I did an enrollment call with, basically just seeing if he wanted to work with me as a coach. He's like, oh, I worked with this other coach, and they, you know, I was just a number. I, you know, basically not a great experience. And I looked into this guy. He's got 1.2 million followers, and he's like posting his this client success. And he, this guy that I was interviewing, told me, yeah, he had me doing 5 workouts a week, and this he had me doing incline dumbbell chest press, incline barbell chest press, incline cable press. I'm like, first
Jesus.
off, that's stupid. You're not, you shouldn't do the same action 3 times with different equipment. You're just wasting time. Not a good trainer. And then also he was burnt out. Anyway, in this post that this guy, again, I'm not gonna say his name because I don't know much
Don't.
about him, but and I wouldn't. But it's just the act, it's just like what this put out there was just, here's this guy, and it was, it's phrased in such a like man's man mentality of, yes, he lost 30 pounds. Yeah, he lost 30 pounds. Yeah, he tracked his macros because he's a fucking man. Yeah, he did this because he's a fucking man. You might even know who I'm talking about, but
Probably.
it's like, yeah, he's because he put the work in and he's a fucking man. And it literally said that. It's like, and the other post said, this dude with his Rolls Royce, I'm a fucking man. This is what I get with a man. I'm like, ugh. I'm just like, that's, I just look at that. I'm like, dude, like what, who hurt you? Like, what are you running away
Exactly.
from?
Who hurt you? And do you need a motherfucking hug? That's what that says.
Also,
Insecurity.
I feel like Rolls Royces are just not like cars to show off anyway. It's a very beautiful car, but like, get a car that's fun to drive. That's like driving a boat. Anyway.
But this is what I'm saying, Casey. This is why I want to have you on, and this is why I want to have you back. If you are wanting, I want to have you back on in the next couple months, because I think you're an example of what it means to move through things in life that are hard, being a man, showing them what a real man can look like and be like when a man cries and expresses emotion and talks about the hard things. That is probably the biggest form, the best form of what it means to be courageous and to be brave. It's not to stand up and say, I'm a man and I push all my emotions down and I, fuck, I'll just go run it out. It's like, no. Eventually, when you can't run, those thoughts catch up with you. So keep running. It's all right. You can run 100 miles a day, but guess what? It's going to catch up because it
Yeah.
always does. So deal with it now. Don't band-aid it. Don't Ozempic it. Find a way to walk through it. We got this right when the children's book came out. You cannot go over it. You cannot go under it. You cannot
Yeah.
go around it. You have to go through it. That's what it means to be a good coach. That's what it means to be anybody who's giving any advice, anybody who's been through it. If you haven't been through it, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
I know it's harsh. Kelsey, you're harsh. You're very masculine, Kelsey. No, I'm just. This is just the stuff a lot of women think about and nobody wants to say because they don't want to be seen as being disrespectful. It's not about being disrespectful. It's about being honest. And when we start being more honest with ourselves, we can start being healthier. We can start healing from the traumas. And what did happen? Yeah. What happened to you? What happened to you? Because
Yeah.
it's showing on your face.
Yeah, who hurt you, sir?
Yeah, sir. And you know what would be crazy is that response, if you said that to him, would be the most triggering thing you would ever see.
It's funny because I saw a couple posts like that that are just like, next time someone insults you, like just ask them if they're okay and notice what happens. Because
Oh,
if
they
I went up to
lose
that
it.
dude, I'm like, yeah, if I was like, dude, are you okay? Like, yeah, I'm a fucking okay. I'm a man. I'm lifting weights and I make $1 million a year, idiot. I'm like, all right, like, but are you good? Are you all right? Like,
Who touched you? Tell me
or
when I get to the part.
do you like need a hug? I
Everybody
saw
needs a
it. It just,
hug.
it was, I mean, it's so silly. It's, I laugh, but it is sad that like, that's
It
what
is.
being pushed onto men. And that's, you know, part of me wants to grow my page so I can have more of an influence on other guys, but it's just like, yeah, I try to try to be as honest as possible. And fortunately, unfortunately, mostly fortunately, this is just my path that I've had the privilege of learning from, and how I get to use my platform to share. Same with you. I mean, you're fighting against the grain in a lot of ways, and breaking molds and all that. So, props to you. That's not an easy thing to do. And
Yeah, fighting the.
as much as I'm sure there's days where it's just like, oh, it's so exhausting just to be real and have know that what you're gonna say is get backlash, or know that things are just gonna not be easy because you decide to live and speak and put yourself out there in a certain way. That takes courage.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I'm not worried about Instagram. I'm worried about the government. I have real problems up here. I have real people who knock on doors up here. I had this conversation. Literally, I finished up the episode with Tulsi Gabbard on Saturday, and I looked at her and I said, "I'm really glad you're still alive." She goes, "Me too. Watch out." And I said, "I'm really glad. Are you suicidal?" She goes, "No." I said, "Me either." And that's how we ended the episode. We were talking about the Clintons, and I was talking about Trudeau, and it's for real, man. People think they have problems. They don't have a clue. And that's the other thing too, man. It's not about the following. And I've told you that before, and I'm gonna tell you that until the day you cut me out of your life. It's never been, and it never will be about the following. It's about what you do with it, how you make people feel when they're around you and in your presence. The right people will find you. Just needs time.
Yeah, and you're right. And it's exactly how things have gone, is leading with integrity and value, and just putting yourself, it does take putting yourself out there and being and put yourself in the opportunity to experience, successful moments or experience change in people's lives. But like, yeah, it all works out.
It
You just got
does.
to ride the ride,
Yep.
and sometimes enjoy it.
It's all of them
I
at
always have
once.
fun with it with this feature on I think it'll work, but on Zoom, where
Oh.
it's I'm with my clients, I'm like, it's just a party. Let's go,
Oh.
baby.
That might be the first time I have seen that one. Normally, I get like the celebration
Yeah, you'll
or I
get
get
the
the
thumbs
thumbs
up.
up. I can
Or
see
this
you
one's
doing like the.
balloons. They're
Is this the
pretty fun. I
balloons
don't know how
one?
to turn. Oh, yeah, there
Oh,
we go.
there it
Balloons.
is.
The
Yeah.
double for confetti.
Oh, I'm learning so much with you right now,
You know the
Casey. Look
heart one,
at.
right? This is a
No,
fun one too.
I've never done this one. What?
There you go. But yeah, it's not
Oh.
as fun as this one.
I know that one
Woo!
might be my favorite. That's might be
I
my new intro for the show.
mean,
It's
I
just
don't
gonna be
even know how to turn them
visuals.
off, to be honest, but I like that one.
I don't either. Somebody told me you could. I was having an interview with Mike Baker about CIA, and he's like, "You can turn that off." And I was like, "This is more fun for me to
It
watch
is
you
kind of
talk about
fun,
it."
except for like when there's a thumbs down too. I don't like that one. I don't know if
Does
it'll
that
work.
do it?
Good. There it is. Yeah, it's
Oh,
like,
yeah, the
eh.
bubbles.
I don't like that
Yeah.
one. Get that one off.
Yeah, it's a little sketch. Give me some positivity in my life, man. Well, you have today. You brought up the day. You gave me the light. You shared your awesomeness and your wisdom with all of us. And we went on a lot of different tangents I didn't expect to. And I do apologize for a lot of those, but
That's
that's
what we
what the
do.
show is, man. Do come back. Do let me know when you can. Let's chat about it again because you are one of the best coaches I know. And I want you to tell everyone where they can become a client, most importantly. Number two, where they can follow the shirtless man,
The
also
shirtless
great.
man. That is actually that was the name I was gifted when I was born, but I
You're
changed it to
welcome.
Casey.
Yeah, do it.
No, right now I'm building out websites and all that, but you could find me at Casey F. Gilbert on Instagram, and that's probably the easiest way to find me. Just shoot me a DM. I answer them that aren't including pictures right away. Made that mistake a couple times.
Oh.
Yeah, not great. That's a whole nother story. But yeah, it's been super fun to chat with you, see you again, and still feel the same energy that I did that weekend. So I'm
Yeah, man.
glad to connect again.
Yeah, dude. You'll come back on anytime. We'll make sure to put everything in the show notes. You stick with me. Everyone else, we'll see you all next week.